Welcome to the AI Minds podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the companies of tomorrow being built AI first. I am your host, Dimitri Oss, and this episode, like every other episode, is brought to you by the number one speech-to-text and text-to-speech API on the internet. That is DeepGram, which is trusted by the world's top conversational AI leaders, startups, and enterprises like Spotify, Twilio, NASA, and Citibank. We are here today with the director of marketing at Pinpoint Global. Tony, how you doing, man?
Doing very well, thank you. I've had multiple cups of coffee, and I'm ready to do this, man.
That's what I'm talking about. I love that energy you're bringing to it. So I know you have had an incredible journey. You've been at Pinpoint Global for the last 14 years.
What is
fascinating to me is how versatile your whole tenure there has been. But maybe you can explain to us how you got the call to go and work for Pinpoint Global.
Yeah, well, I mean, I started here from all things a recruiter finding my resume on monster.com. I don't know if you remember. Does monster.com even still exist? It might. I haven't been looking for a job for a while, like you just said, so I don't even know. But so it does happen. People do reach out from there, or at least they did. And I got brought on in a production support capacity, worked in there for a couple of months under contract. They liked me. At least I hope they did. I'm still here. And then I worked in a production support capacity for a number of years, just creating e-learning content, editing audio, which I wish we had AI back then because that was excruciating. And did that for a number of years, became manager of the department, did that for a number of years.
What was it like editing the audio content back then, just as a little sidebar? And what kind of audio were you editing? It wasn't transcribing, was it?
No, not transcribing, editing. So we recorded. So for the various e-learning presentations we would put together, some of them had, narration where it was, it wasn't fun narration. We do, and I think our clients will agree, we make training for, the financial services and healthcare industry. So not the sexiest content, a little bit dry even.
But important, right?
But important,
regulated.
Yes.
It has to happen. This. Yeah.
Yes, it has to happen. And so, you can imagine the tediousness of sort of going through that script and being like, actually, can you take that again? It's a 5-year surrender period. You said it was 4. We got to do that again. So, yeah, a lot of that. And actually, we would have outside talent. And then eventually somebody was like, why don't you just do it? And so now it's me reading the scripts and editing my own voice. So I'm just going to say I'm glad that ammunition was not close by.
Yeah, for some people that can be like worse than subjecting them to torture. I know for myself, I've had to get used to listening to my own voice because I edit
it's
my own
weird.
Podcast.
It's really
it
weird.
It takes a little getting used to though, for sure it does. So you were doing that, you were in the support role, you were editing, and then where'd you go? And by the way, I still remember those monster.com commercials back in the day.
Yeah.
And I remember the
literal
green
cartoon
branding.
Monster.
Yeah, it's incredible. I haven't really watched TV in a while, so I'm not sure if they still are running those commercials, but it feels to me like that company probably got bought a while ago and
probably,
then
and
they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll check that out. But yeah, tell me, like, then where'd you go? What were you doing after that?
So I moved a couple cubicles over and started managing that department. And then I think I said that already. But after managing that department for a little while, the production and support department, I had overheard some chatter from our engineering team that they needed a dedicated front end engineer, somebody who could do CSS and to do, designs, UI designs, stuff like that. Because they didn't like doing it. Obviously, they could do it, but it it wasn't what they wanted to do. They wanted to work on the fun and geeky stuff. So I had gone to my manager at the time. I said, you know, give me a shot. I have a background in graphic design, and I don't know CSS exactly. I kind of know how it goes, but, you know, I don't know it yet, but, you know, give me a shot. And within a couple of days, they're like, we have 4 portals for you to design and implement. So a lot of late nights, a lot of late nights.
So they trusted you with those 4? They said, take it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the sort of advantages for being here for a number of years before that happened, is everybody got to know me, and I have integrity. Of all things, I have integrity. So that's nice. So they like that as well. So, after a while of working late and doing a lot of Googling, everybody was very happy with the end result. And then over time, I kind of became the director of product design, did a lot of front end stuff, a lot of layouts, a lot more CSS, got a lot more refined in how I did things over time, because that's what happens with experience. So, that went really well. And then recently stepped into a marketing role. So,
and we should probably mention that you had graduated college with a design degree, right? So it wasn't like it was totally foreign to you.
Was it totally foreign?
Like what you wanted to be doing, and you saw your opportunity and you seized the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not often. I mean, how often do you hear the story where, I graduated college, I don't even use what I went to school for. I went for nuclear engineering, and, you know, now I bus tables, you know, or something like that. That's usually how the story goes. You know, I bag grapes at Market Basket or something like that.
Yeah, 100%.
But yeah, so it was nice to be able to, I mean, obviously things weren't stagnant, so I had a little bit of catching up to do because I hadn't done it in a number of years, but the muscle memory kind of kicked back in, and learning the CSS and JavaScript and stuff like that kept things very fresh, which was nice.
And what drove you into marketing?
I've always been pretty curious about why people do things. I mean, watch enough news, and I guess that curiosity will come up in you too. But just what makes some designs better or worse than others? The difference in some messaging can really make a difference. That kind of thing. So just how to get into people's heads to really communicate, you know, the value of what we're doing. And I don't know. Always just sort of had a curiosity. I was a little reticent to jump in because it seemed like AI is going to kind of take over the field pretty soon. But for now, nope. It's just me.
No. Yeah, the fun part about that is I think now what AI is unlocking for a lot of marketers is the ability to do way more with way less. And so it's not necessarily like it's taking over as much as, or at least this is how I see it. It's not that it's taking over as much as it is helping the marketer who has 20 things that they want to get done. And now they're able to, instead of doing one or two of them, or if you're like me, trying to do 5 of them and doing none of them really, really well, you at least can now hopefully do 5 of them at a much higher quality bar.
Yeah. And just, you know, to bring that back, you know, that was my original fear is that it was just going to, you know, wipe the whole thing out. As of right now, you know, after doing deep dives in a lot of different, you know, AI software and stuff like that, I'm finding that is what it is. It's an efficiency tool. It lets you do that crappy first draft that was going to take you a while to do, and you can do it in 30 seconds, and instead go into edit mode and really refine the messaging there instead of agonizing over how to put everything together.
So talk to me about the evolution of Pinpoint Global over these past 14 years, because I imagine it hasn't been the same product that has stuck around for 14 years, or has it?
Nope. No, I mean, we are specialists in a very niche field. We do learning management systems, Medicare certification systems, and compliance management systems. Don't go to sleep just yet. For the financial services and healthcare industry. So a lot of the things that we create and when we create them come from needs and pain points and so on. So we, you know, mainly make proprietary systems that they're very feed and company data driven, and we basically ingest those things, company hierarchies, your job role, and we serve up the appropriate training and compliance mitigation tools to allow you to better do your job, basically.
And 14 years ago, what was it?
So it actually started as a video production company. It used to be known as Biz News 24.
Then they pivoted. That is a pivot.
Big pivot. Yeah. So it was a lot of on-site, going to various, talks, auditoriums, talking head style stuff. And we were, film company news for them. And they would put that on their website. And yeah, big pivot. Because again, just recognize the need. Like, this is all well and good, but the future is in corporate training and keeping records and making sure that people stay in compliance and all this other stuff. And we just listened to what people needed and pivoted from there.
So basically, what I think I was thinking about is, how are you incorporating AI into the product? I know that there's the recommendation, but I would imagine the recommendation doesn't even need to be with AI sometimes. As everyone knows, there is that funny saying that the first rule of AI is don't use AI when you can. How are you incorporating it in?
Yep. So the main place that we are incorporating AI right now is with our advertising review system. And so just real quick, what that is anytime anybody has to submit advertising or marketing materials or has something that they want to put out there into the world for their firm, they have to submit it through a compliance process. So it has to go through various levels of supervision. The number of levels that it goes through can differ from firm to firm. We basically have an entire suite of tools that allows the submission, the oversight, everything's configurable. So however your firm does business, if you have 3 levels of supervision or 20 levels of supervision, we can automatically send it to whoever it needs to go to, depending on the status of the submission and so on. So the way that AI comes into that right now is with video and audio submissions, particularly in the transcription process. So somebody will submit a video that automatically gets funneled to you guys right now for transcription. You graciously and quickly send that file back and we process that. And we also, we do some processing on top of that file where we have basically a lexicon library. It's just a definition of terms defined by the firm that will red line or yellow line, depending on the level of risk, the transcript that comes back. And so when it gets sent to review, the people reviewing it won't have to sit there, watch the entire video. They won't have to transcribe it first to really see what they're working with. And we are able to kind of surface the riskiest things that people said in an annotated PDF. And that annotated PDF is also linked so that any of the things that the system redlines, if they click on that, it goes to that point in the video and plays that so you can see it in context to see if it really is a risk.
So basically, me as financial advisor, fiduciary, I'm no longer Demetrios, I'm D-Money, basically.
D-Money,
that's my
perfect
fiduciary
doing business
name.
As DBA D-Money. Yes.
Exactly. I am making videos for my clients, or I'm sending out podcasts or voice notes, whatever it may be, to a distribution list. And in there, maybe I have some stock picks and I say things like, this stock is sure to double your money, or it's going to the moon, that type of language.
Yeah, you go full crypto.
Yeah.
Just be like, we're going to moon soon. Token unlocks coming in 2 months, dump your bags before then. Yeah.
That's getting redlined like crazy, I imagine.
Big time. Yep.
And so before I send it out to my distribution list, I upload it to, basically I have it go through as one of my steps on my distribution list. Like basically it goes through that whole cleansing process and then it gets
edited. It's the very first thing that happens. As soon as the system detects audio or video, it gets sent off to you guys for a transcription, and then we process it and we evaluate the risks that are in it. And we automatically then send that to the next person up the chain. And they're able to, you know, look at those things. Like I said, in context, they can click on any of the things that were automatically found, make sure that they're actually risks or maybe they're not, and then either pen that back to the submitter or, you know, suggest changes. And actually, with the lexicon library, there are certain things where if the firm has seen them multiple times and like, oh, this is always a problem, but the solution is this, it will actually, you know, give you the recommendation of how to fix the thing that's wrong with the video. And so this whole process has been a huge, you know, time saver, like 4 to 5 times the amount of time saved. Like they can start and end the review process within 4 to 5 times faster. Because what they were doing before.
Yeah, somebody doing a podcast and spending hours talking about different ways that the markets are moving and things that they're bullish on, and then you don't release that, but somebody needs to review it. And if it's an hour long podcast, let's just say it's an hour long, which is pretty standard and typical, but God forbid it's like a 3 hour long marathon, and now you need somebody to edit that and be very, it's not just listen to the podcast, it's be on the top of your game for something that could potentially get you into hot water. And so if you have
human error is a huge factor
all over the place,
especially if this is what you're doing all day. If your thing is reviewing these submissions all day, and it's not just like video submission after video submission, you've got flyers, you've got, you know, all kinds of different media coming your way. So you've got to constantly be switching gears. And then, you know, end of the day, some of these people review, you know, 20 videos a day.
Wow.
So
and you still have humans reviewing? Is it
They have to.
On
they
your
to.
Side? Yeah. Or is it on the company that submits its side?
It's on the client side. Yeah. So the whole system's configured where, you know, we do a fact finding thing where we say, you know, how is your firm set up for supervision? And we make sure that, again, since we have everybody's job role and what their responsibilities are in the system, we can make sure that those things are, you know, automatically send to the right person depending on what's happening with the submission. So, you know, something wrong with this, I actually need to append this to a subject matter expert because I'm out of my depth, you know, to get this, to figure out what's going on here. We can do that. We can send it to the next person up the chain. We can send it back to the submitter. Everybody gets notified. So it's really this big kind of automated hierarchy relationship thing that sits on top of the submission that basically follows it the whole way to make sure that it can get through this review process as soon as possible. Because until it does, you know, this is how these people are able to make money. They make campaigns and do advertising and stuff like that. So until that can go live, that is money not making it into the firm's pocket.
It's a huge blocker. I would imagine if the whole marketing engine needs to wait on approval every time anything goes out. And like you mentioned, it's not 100%. Just podcasts or audio notes or newsletters. It is anything you could think of, like flyers and
anything. Anything that you're talking about the firm or your services for the firm, anything related to the firm, they're trying to protect their brand. So they have to make sure that everything is on the up and up. And with, you know, there's a whole another thing at the end of that. The small print that you see on everything, you know, disclosures, they have to be consistent. So there's a whole the sort of end of the process or kind of squished in the middle there is validating that there is a disclosure, that it's consistent. If there isn't one, it can suggest one based on the type of content that is and the content of the submission. So it's a lot of automated tools within that to try to keep everyone's sanity and to help these places be profitable.
It feels like you are expediting the process considerably. And so I'd imagine that there are a ton of people that were doing it the manual way beforehand and probably not getting out that much content just because they were constrained. And it goes back to that thing we were saying before, right? Like AI isn't taking the job. It's actually allowing people to create more and do more with less.
Yep. And I mean, until financial services industries trust AI completely, I mean, there's always going to be people there too, providing oversight and everything. So it's still going to be just a tool. And I mean, compared to the manual process that people were going through for things like audio and video, where they
were painful,
they would have to submit it. The next person up the chain would have to download it. They would manually transcribe things until they found a Microsoft transcribe tool, but they would still have to do that on their desktop. Then they have to go through and make sure Microsoft actually did that correctly. So they still have to watch the video anyway. And then, so every submission has an audit trail. Anytime anybody touches the thing, that gets listed in a log. And so they would use that log to log a comment that says, you know, hey, at 113, you said this, I'm not so sure about this. So now you have that listed, you know that it's a problem, but you can't just click on it and see the video. So you have to, as the submitter, probably download the video again or open it and have this on at this side. So everything is just a very lengthy, tedious process.
Wow. Sounds like a mess. The way that you're doing it allows for such like it. When I look at it, I think, yeah, of course it should be like that. Why wouldn't you want to have, we expect that type of product experience with almost everything else that we interact with that's technology. Why wouldn't we expect to have that for enterprise software and for software or just like B2B software? And so it is really nice that you're going down that route to significantly expedite the whole process of getting things out the door for these financial advisors. And
yeah, so now we're on the hunt, for some of our other compliance modules, trying to find ways that AI can basically do that too. You know what I mean? Just laborious, tedious processes that are either manually done or there's just too many cooks in the kitchen, and see if we can streamline that.
I believe it. Well, Tony, this has been great, man. I'm really excited for what you all are doing, and I appreciate you coming on here and talking to us about it.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. Maybe you can splice this in. I do have kind of an interesting story about how we actually ended up selecting you guys.
Oh, tell me. Yeah.
I think we slimmed down the list from, you know, something like 25 to 5 different, you know, transcribers. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that you guys were, or that anybody was kind of up to snuff with the transcription, obviously. So the way that we did that, one of the ways that we did that is we went to ChatGPT and said, hey, make a script that would trip up an audio transcriber. And what they gave us was, you know, 5 minutes of the most alliterative dribble that you've ever heard, just unintelligible sentence out one after another.
Were you the voice over for this again?
I was. Yes. I went so
remembering
I had to
your
read
roots?
It actually didn't take too many takes. I was kind of, you know, pretty satisfied with myself. But you know, God forbid I screw up the wacky script. Anyway. So I get in the booth and I'm reading it, but I also, you know, filmed myself with a Snapchat filter because why not? Let's make it entertaining. Reading this stuff, and we fed it to you guys and you processed it really quickly, and it was like 98 point something effective. And we're like,
wow,
this might be one to move on to the next round.
Yeah. We need to look deeper into this.
Yeah. And
incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I love hearing stories like that. Awesome, man.